Word of God that we read together now is Titus chapter 1, as well as the first few verses of Titus chapter 2. So Titus chapter 1, and then also Titus 2, verses 1 through 6. With the sermon this morning, it is my purpose for us to begin together a series of sermons based on Titus chapter 2. So we'll begin this morning with a sermon on Titus chapter 2, verse 1, and Lord willing, in the future, on the rest of Titus chapter 2, a few verses or a verse at a time. Let's begin by reading Titus chapter 1 through verse 6 of Titus chapter 2. Si Pablo na ilipin ng Diyos at apostol ni Yesu Kristo sa ikasusulong ng pananampalataya ng mga hinirang ng Diyos at ng kanilang pagkakilala sa katotohanan ayon sa kabananalan sa pag-asa sa buhay na walang hanggan. Bago pa nagsimula ang mga panahon, ito ay pinangako ng Diyos na hindi nagsisinungaling. Ngunit sa takdang panahon ay ipinahayag sa kanyang salita sa pamamagitan ng pangangaral na sa akin ay ipinagkatiwala ayon sa utos ng Diyos na ating tagapagligtas kay Tito na aking tunay na anak sa isang pananampalataya, biyaya at kapayapaan mula sa Diyos Ama at kay Kristo Yesus na ating tagapagligtas. Dahil ditoy iniwan kita si Krita upang isaayos mo ang mga bagay na may kakulangan at upang magtalaga ng matatanda sa iglesia sa buhat bayan na gaya ng ipinagbilin ko sa iyo. Siya ay dapat na walang kapintasan, asawa ng isang babae na ang kanyang mga anak ay mananampalataya na hindi napaparagtangan ng pagugulo o ng pagiging suwadil. Sabakat ang obispo bilang katiwala ng Diyos ay dapat na walang kapintasan, hindi mayabang, hindi magagalitin, hindi maglalasing, hindi marahas, hindi sakim sa pagkinabang, kundi mapagpatuloy ng panauhin, maibigin sa kabutihan, matino ang pag-iisip, matuwid, banal, at mapagpigil sa sarili. Dapat na kanyang pinaghahawakan, mabuti ang tapat na salita na ayon sa turo, upang makapangaral siya ng wastong aral at pabulalanan ang mga sumasalungat dito. Sapagkat maraming mga suwail na mapagsalita ng walang kabuluhan at mga mandayara, lalo na ang mga nasa panig ng pagtutuli, dapat patigilin ang kanilang mga bibig sapagkat inugulo nila ang buong sambayahan sa pagtuturo nila ng mga bagay na hindi nararapat dahil sa masamang pakinabang. Sinabi ng isa sa kanila, ng isang propeta mismo nila, ang mga taga-Kreta ay laging mga sinungaling, masasamang ayo, mga batukang matatagal. Ang patotoong ito ay tunay, dahil dito'y mahigpit mo silang sawayan upang maging malakas sila sa pananampalataya, na huwag makinig sa mga Katang isip ng mga Judeo at sa mga utos ng mga tao na nagtatakwil sa katotohanan. Sa malinis ang lahat ng mga bagay na ay malinis, ngunit sa marurumi at hindi nananampalataya ay walang anumang malinis, kundi ang kanilang pag-iisip at budhi ay pawang inarumi. Ina ang kin nilang kilala nila ang Diyos, ngunit sa pamamigitan ng kanilang mga gawa ay kinagkaila nila, palipasa sila'y kasuklam-suklam at mga masubayin at hindi naanangkop sa anumang gawang mabuti. Ngunit ikaw naman magsalita ka ng mga bagay na angkop sa mahusay na araw. Ang matatandang lalaki ay dapat maging mapagpigil sa sarili, kagalang-galang, matino, malakas sa pananampalataya, sa pag-ibig, at sa pagtitiis. Sabihin mo rin ang matatandang babae na maging magalang sa kanilang asal, hindi mapanirawan kuri, ipalipin man sa lak, dapat silang magturo ng kabutihan upang kanilang magturuan ang mga kabataan babae na ibigin ang kanilang mga asawa, ibigin ang kanilang mga anak. Maging martino, dalisay, nasipag sa gawaing bahay, mabait na nagpapasakop sa kanilang asawa upang huwag lapas tanganin ang salita ng Diyos. Gayun din naman, himukin mo ang mga kabataang lalaki na maging matino sa pag-iisip. Verse that we consider is verse 1 of chapter 2. Ngunit ikaw naman magsalita ka ng mga bagay na angkop sa mahusay sa araw. In the English, but speak all the things which become sound doctrine. The Apostle Paul is writing here to his son. We read that in verse 1. In chapter 1, I mean verse 4. Paul writes this letter, this book of the Bible, and he says in verse 4 of chapter 1, that he is writing to Titus, mine own son. Writing to his son Titus. Not because Titus was his natural son, because Paul was never married, Paul never had children. But Titus, we understand, was Paul's spiritual son. A son in the faith. One who had been trained under the Apostle Paul so that Paul could refer to him as his espiritual na anak. He had accompanied the Apostle on his missionary journeys. You could say that Titus had attended seminary under the instruction of Paul during the years that he was with him on those journeys. And now Titus is on the island of Crete. He was left there by the Apostle Paul to do a mahalagan gawain. And that's mentioned in verse 5 of chapter 1, where Paul says to Titus, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, things that haven't been done yet, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And so Titus is now doing that work. And why does the Apostle Paul write this letter to Titus? What is his purpose? Well, he writes to Titus to give instruction to him as a fellow pastor, a fellow minister of the gospel. And so this book of Titus is often referred to as a pastoral letter, a pastoral letter of Paul to Titus, in which he writes to Titus, Hingil sa kanyang gawain bilang ministro ng Evangelio. Now the theme of the book of Titus, and it's important for us to know that right from the very start, the theme of the book of Titus is the office of believer in the Church of Jesus Christ. Ang tungkulin ng mananampalataya. That's the office that every child of God occupies in the church. You are a believer. Sa pamamagitan ng biyaya ng Diyos sa Iglesia. And you are a believer and you occupy the office of believer in the church because God has regenerated you. And God has given you the gift of faith so that you believe in God and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The result of God's work is that you do that. You have the office of believer. You are anointed with the Holy Spirit. You are a prophet, a priest, and a king in the Church of Christ, and therefore you believe. And secondly, you also live the life of a believer, a Christian life, a godly life, a life of good works. And this book, this letter to Titus, gives to us who occupy the office of believer important practical instruction, Hingil sa ating mahalagang dakol sa Iglesia. Maybe you sometimes think, I'm not that important in the church. I have no special place in this congregation. I have no active part in this church. I have nothing to do in this congregation. I have nothing to contribute. And perhaps you sometimes feel that you are not needed in the church. The church could be fine without you. It doesn't really matter if you're here sa linggo or not. And you're not involved, therefore, in the church of Jesus Christ. But if you understand, as we ought to understand, that we all occupy ang tungkulin ng mananampalataya, then we will realize we have an important place, every one of us, in the Church of Christ. Whether you're old or young, whether you're male or female, you hold a crucial office, an office that is crucial for the church, and that is something for us each to value and to appreciate, regarding it a great privilege to be in the office of believer in the Church of Jesus Christ. The office of believer in this church, First Reformed Church of Bulacan. And may the Word of God, as we consider it this morning and in the coming sermons from Titus chapter 2, encourage us in that regard. So we consider this text this morning, Titus 2 verse 1, under the theme, the things that are consistent with sound doctrine. Mga bagay na consistent sa tamang doctrina. And we look at three things: the idea of sound doctrine, the content of sound doctrine, and finally, the things that are consistent with sound doctrine. Now, the text that we look at this morning is a word of God that answers for us an important question, tanong, an important question concerning the preaching of the word of God. An important question for, first of all, the minister of the word who preaches. An important question also for the elder of the church who is to supervise the preaching of the minister. And an important question for all the members that belong to the church. And the question that is answered here is this. What should the preaching be? What should be preached? What should be the content of the preaching of the Word of God? What is it that God's people must hear and need to hear in the preaching of God's Word? Well, the answer to that question is given when Paul says to Titus, "Speak the things that become sound doctrine." And not that become in the sense of things that turn into sound doctrine, things that change into sound doctrine. That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying here. But he is saying, preach the things that are becoming of, or things that fit with, or things that match sound doctrine. Things that are consistent with sound doctrine. Things that are in accord with sound doctrine. Things that are in harmony with sound doctrine. Ang mga bagay na akma sa tamang doctrina. And if a minister is to do this, then you realize that what is implied, first of all, is that a minister must first, una salahat, preach sound doctrine. He does not start with the things that match sound doctrine, but he starts with sound doctrine. Itol depat e una. That must first be the content of the preaching of the minister of the word. You notice that mentioned already in Titus 1 verse 9. Where Titus is told by the Apostle Paul concerning the qualifications of a bishop or an elder in the Church of Christ. Qualifications that apply to the ruling elder, but also to the teaching elder who is the minister of the gospel. And what is he told in verse 9? He must be a man who holds fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That's what the minister of the gospel must do. Preach sound doctrine. Then, and only then, can he preach the things that are Paga kasundosa tamang doctrina. And that leads to the question, ano ba ang tamang doctrina? Well, the word used here, sound, or tamang, refers literally to something that is healthy. Malusog. Not sick, not weak doctrine, not polluted doctrine, not something that if you would take it in, if you would hear it as one of God's people sitting in church, it's going to make you spiritually sick, unhealthy, but doctrine that is pure. Doctrine that is in itself healthy, and doctrine therefore that makes God's people healthy. Healthy, good, wholesome food for the people of God. And doctrine that is healthy is simply this. Doctrine that is faithful to the Word of God. Faithful to the Scriptures. Ang pangangaral ay di-dapat na nahahaluan ng mga ideya ng mga tao. Not mixed with errors. Not a minister going to the pulpit and saying, well, here are my ideas concerning what this Word of God teaches. And not a minister going to the pulpit and saying, well, I feel that this is what God's Word teaches us, and I feel that this is how we ought to live as God's people, and I feel this is how we ought to deal with and confront these things in life. Not that. And not a minister in the pulpit who says, well, my opinion is this. I'm going to share my thoughts, share my opinion with you on this matter. Nor may preaching be that a minister promotes and leans on the current thinking of mankind. Maybe scientists, or maybe it's the majority of people, and a minister might be tempted to say, well, this is what most people think today. And so we're going to think that way as well. Not that. The Word of God in chapter 1 warns us against that and points out to us really what unsound doctrine is. Doctrine that is unhealthy. Preaching that is not according to the Scriptures. And notice that first of all in verse 10 of chapter 1. Verse 10 of chapter 1, the Word of God says, Sabakat maraming mga suwail mapag salita ng walang kabuluhan at mga mandayar daraya lalum lalo na ang mga nasa panig ng pagtutuli. So there are some who do that in their preaching. They exist in the church world today. And then also they are mentioned in verse 14, what they preach, what they teach. Na huwag makinig sa mga katangisip ng mga Judeo at sa mga utos ng mga tao na nagkatakwil sa katotohanan. So they teach the commandments of men. And the Apostle Paul is saying to Titus at the beginning of chapter 2, don't do that. That is not sound doctrine. And that's why the first word in chapter 2 is the word but. Nunet. In contrast to these false teachers mentioned in chapter 1, verse 10 and following, who teach the commandments of men, who come with fables when they preach the Word of God, Titus is told, you preach sound doctrine. You preach the Word of God. Not the ideas and fables and commandments of men, but the Word of God. So that when you preach God's Word, you are able to say, this is not my Word, but this is God's Word that I speak. Ito ang salita ng Diyos. Ganito ang sabi ng Panginoon. That's what the minister of the gospel must be able to say. And that will be healthy doctrine. Healthy for the people of God. Spiritually healthy. And that is Christ's purpose through the preaching. So that His people are fed. They're nourished. They receive spiritual food that is good for their kalalua, their souls. Now we realize and we see now point C. Ang doktrino na pangangaral ay hindi popular ngayon. There are many today who dislike doctrine in the preaching, and they shun doctrine in the preaching. And what do they say? What do they say? They say this, some of them, well, I don't want doctrinal preaching because it is too difficult to follow. Then I have to think too hard. There are some things in the Bible that I cannot understand. In fact, many of the doctrines, if not most of the doctrines of the Bible, are just way too difficult for me to get a grasp of. to get a hold of. I don't want doctrine in the preaching. So don't preach about the Trinity. Don't preach about predestination. Don't preach about the eternal counsel of God. Don't preach about the distinction between regeneration and conversion. Don't talk about immediate regeneration versus immediate regeneration and all these other doctrines of the Bible that are too difficult, mahirap na mahirap, for me to understand. Just give me practical preaching. And they will add, doctrinal preaching doesn't do me any good anyway. What is the usefulness of it for my life? What benefit does it do me to understand the Trinity? What benefit does it do me to understand the covenant? What benefit does it do me to understand predestination? There's no personal benefit. What's the point of doctrinal preaching? That's often the objection. And what is said instead is this: give me practical preaching. What people want mostly today is how-to sermon. How to do this, how to do that, how to survive poverty, how to deal with sickness, how to confront and overcome marriage problems. How to. Give me the 10 steps to a happy marriage. That's what I want in the preaching. Give me the 5 ways to succeed in life. That's what many say they want in the preaching of God's Word. And the fact is, the minister, and I speak for myself here, the minister can be tempted to do that. Ang isang ministro ay maaaring matuksong sumunod sa mga kagustuhan ng mga tao. Tempted to keep the people happy. Tempted to please or to try to please the people. Tempted to let the members in the church, the people sitting and listening, tempted to let them dictate or let them determine what he preaches. And he sometimes is tempted, and again, I speak from my own perspective as a minister of the Word. The minister is tempted not to preach sound doctrine because it's hard work. It's hard work. It's difficult because a minister has to himself understand that doctrine very well before he can preach it to the people of God. And then he has to incorporate it into his sermon and explain that doctrine to God's people in a way that is clear and in a way that is faithful to the Word of God so that their understanding is good and right. What's the point of a minister explaining a doctrine in a sermon if afterwards you all leave and you say, "Hindi intindihan ito. I didn't understand it." That's worse than if you didn't receive it at all. Then you go away confused. It takes work. It takes effort for a minister to set forth the doctrines clearly so that they are understood. So a minister might be tempted not to do it because the people don't want it, because it's hard work for him. The Word of God is clear. The Word of God that comes to Timothy, that says to Timothy, preach the things that fit, that harmonize with sound doctrine, says to Timothy, to Titus, I mean, first of all, preach sound doctrine. That's God's word to me. That's God's word to your pastor. Preach sound
doctrine.
We must do that because that's what God commands. God knows that's what His people need to hear. That must be preached. And that brings us to the content of this sound doctrine. Ang nilalaman ng tamang doctrina. Question is, what exactly is the content of sound doctrine? Well, hindi ito simpleng paghahayag na iba-ibang mga katotohanan at mga doktrina ng salita ng Diyos. Not that. It's not just that a minister turns in his Bible to Genesis chapter 1 and he says, I will preach today on the doctrine concerning creation. And so he explains creation. He says, Amen. And we all go home. It's not that. Nor is it that a minister turns to Genesis chapter 3 and he says, I'm going to preach a sermon today on man's fall into sin and on the total depravity of man. And so he reads Genesis chapter 3. He reads also Romans chapter 3, which speaks of man's total depravity. And he preaches a sermon that says, man is totally depraved. He is incapable of doing any good. He is inclined to all evil. There is no good in us at all. We are useless, worthless, hopeless creatures. Amen. I'm done. That's not preaching sound doctrine. Nor is it that a minister turns in the Bible to Romans chapter 9 and Ephesians chapter 1 and says, today I have a sermon on predestination, election, and reprobation. And so he explains that God from all eternity chose some people for himself, and God from all eternity determined that other people would go eternally to hell. Explains what God has done in eternity in that decree of predestination. And then he says, that's it. Now we can go home. Now you know the doctrine of predestination. That's not preaching sound doctrine. The preaching sound doctrine is when the minister in every sermon that he preaches sets forth one truth, is some truth, is some doctrina. And that is this truth, the good news of the salvation that God's people have through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, their Lord, and their tagapagligtas. That must be in every sermon that a minister preaches. Subalit ang pangangaral na ng tamang doktrina ay nanganga una lugang pangangaral tungkol kay Kristo at siya na ipinako sa krus. Preaching Christ as the revelation of God. Preaching Christ, who is the revelation to us of the sovereign God, the Almighty God, the Righteous God, the Holy God, the Gracious God, the God who has chosen us, not just so there are some chosen people out there, but chosen us to be His people through Jesus Christ, His Son. Preaching Christ as the one through whom God saves His people. Preaching Christ as the one through whom alone there is salvation. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved and can be saved but through Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. If a minister preaches Jesus Christ, if in every sermon that a minister brings he teaches the death and suffering and resurrection of Christ for the justification and salvation of the people of God, then he is preaching sound or healthy doctrine. doctrine that is healthy for the people of God, and doctrine that is according to God's word. Then you know that a minister is being faithful to his calling and duty to preach God's word. And then the elders can know too that a minister is preaching what he ought to preach, because he is preaching Christ, preaching Christ as our Savior and Lord. But this does not mean that a minister can only preach concerning Christ's birth, Christ's life, Christ's suffering, Christ's death, Christ's burial, Christ's resurrection, and Christ's ascension. Doesn't mean that those are the only doctrines he can preach. Nor does it mean that he may not and should not preach on things like creation, or the Trinity, or man's fall into sin, or the church, or the doctrine of the Word of God concerning last things. He should preach on all of that. All of those things about Christ and all of these other doctrines of the Word of God as well. But the point here is this. The point is that every doctrine of the Bible has to be treated and has to be preached from the perspective of Jesu Christo. Si Christo at ang kanyang nagliligtas, nagawa dapat ay inahahaya. Preach Christ from every text. Preach Christ whenever he is preaching on a Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism. Preach Christ in every sermon that he preaches to the people of God. And doing so because Christ is, after all, the one Word of God. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, Ansalita. The Word was with God, Kasama Angios. And the Word was God. Christ is the Word of God. When we preach the Bible, we must preach Christ. We must preach the Word of God. We must preach Christ, who is the truth of God. So that God's people, through every sermon, are led to Christ, their Savior. I remember when I was in seminary and studying to be a minister, that one of the professors who was teaching us exegesis, and that's the class in seminary where you take the Word of God in the original languages, Hebrew for the Old Testament, Greek for the New Testament, translate it from the original languages into the English so that you understand what the original says, and then you explain what that text means. To explain what that text teaches. And this professor said to us, and he said it to us many, many times, and then at times he would also rebuke us, admonish us, because it was obvious that we had not done what he had told us to do. He said to us this: before you start, before you begin, before you even open up the Bible, the Hebrew of the Old Testament, the Greek of the New Testament, and start seeking to understand what this Word of God says, there's one word that you have to write at the top of your page. One word. Write it in big letters. Write it in bold print before you begin. And that's the word Christ. Christo. So that at the very start of your work, of making a sermon, you're thinking about Christ. And that guides you all the way through. You ask yourself the question, what is this text telling me and telling God's people about Christ? What is the message of the good news of salvation that God gives to us in this text of Scripture? And be guided to to preach Christ and Him crucified as the tagapagligtas of His people. Christ, their Savior. That's a great calling and responsibility for the minister of the Word. But he must do that, because he must, through the preaching, lead God's people to Him who is their only hope in all the midst of the troubles of this earthly life. So Christ, si Cristo ang dapatna laman ang mga sermon tungkol sa paglalang, tungkol sa Trinidad, tungkol sa pagkahulog ng tao sa kasalanan, tungkol sa Iglesia, tungkol sa doktrina ng huling mga bagay, and so forth, etc. Christ in every sermon. Not all kinds of how-to sermons. Not sermons that are the seven steps to a successful life. Not sermons that contain all the ideas and opinions of men. And not sermons that present the minister's own great ideas concerning life or what the Word of God might be teaching. But Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ, who is the truth, so that when God's people hear that Word, they hear Christ, they hear the truth that sets them free, liberates us from the bondage of sin. Libre, no longer bound and controlled by the guilt and the dominion and the control of the devil and sin. And not only is it that God's people need to hear Christ, but isn't it also true, beloved, that you want to? Not only Kailanga, but also Gusto. You want to hear Christ. You want to hear the gospel. You want to hear the truth that sets us free. So that must come first in the preaching of God's Word. But then, thirdly, we look at ang mga bagay na consistent sa tamang doctrina. Titus, as a minister, is told, speak those things that are becoming of sound doctrine, that are in harmony with sound doctrine. Akma, tumultugma. And that means, first of all, that he must preach, the minister must preach sermons, and in preaching those sermons, apply the Word of God to the lives of God's people. Bring God's Word to them in such a way that there are admonitions from God's Word given to God's people. Not just, therefore, that the preaching is for our heads, for our brains, para sa mga ulo, but for our hearts as well, and not just for our heads and hearts, but also for our lives. That's the purpose of the preaching of God's Word, so that it's not just that we have it in our heads. There are many people that have the truth of God's Word in their heads, and maybe they have it in their heads better than you and I have it in our heads. That's not good enough. So what if you know the truth, but it makes no difference in your life? A preaching that is applied to the people of God. You'll notice that Titus chapter 2 verse 15 points that out. Ipahayag mo ang mga bagay na ito. Mangaraw ka at sumaway na may buong kapamahalaan. Huwag mong hayaang hamakin ka ng sinuman. So he has to speak, he has to exhort, he has to rebuke, he has to admonish in his preaching the people of God. And that's what the minister of the Word must do. ang pangangaral dapat ay ginagamit sa mga buhay ng bayan ng Diyos. But the main thing that Titus is being told here, and that the minister today is being told, and that we're all learning that the Word of God requires of the preaching, is this. The application, the admonition, the commands, magoutos, that are given to the people of God must flow out of the doctrine, the sound doctrine that is taught. A minister may not and does not preach a sermon concerning the creation of all things and then say to God's people, now this is how children must obey their parents, because that doesn't connect to creation. A minister does not preach a sermon concerning predestination, sovereign election, and a reprobation, and then say to God's people, now this is how you must work. Work hard at your daily job, because that's not connected to the doctrine that he taught. So the preaching must demonstrate what the doctrines mean for the lives of God's people, but the demonstration, the application, must be consistent with the doctrine that is taught. It reminds me again of when I was in seminary. In seminary, we had to do practice preaching. We had to make sermons. Then we had to preach those sermons to the professors and the students. So we had an audience of maybe 8 to 10 people. And one of the sheets, because they gave critique sheets to everyone in the audience, one of the criticisms that could be made of a sermon was this. Does the application flow from the truth or doctrine that was taught in the sermon? That's important. That's how it must be. Not preaching about some doctrine and then have a total unrelated application of that word, but lives, God's people called to live lives that are in harmony with the truth that is taught. And that's what the rest of this chapter of God's Word teaches us about. Titus chapter 2. Nag bibigay ng malinaw na mga halimbawa ng mga bagay na tumutugma sa tamang doctrina. And specifically to all of us in our unique places in the Church of Christ. Coming back to what we said at the beginning. Maybe you sometimes wonder if you're worth anything in the Church of Christ, if you have a place in the Church, if there's anything for you to contribute and for you to do. The Word of God here in Titus 2 has something to say to every member of the Church of Christ. The elderly men are important. This is who they must be and what they must do. The elderly women are important. And then the young women are important. And then the young men are important. And then later in the chapter, servants. The chapter is very practical in pointing out to us, as those who occupy the office of believer in Christ, that we have a crucial place in the Church of Christ. And that takes place, or that life of good works, according to the commands given here, takes place because especially this happens. The Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, does two things. It shows us how to live, and it motivates us to live that way. Out of thankfulness to God for the gracious salvation that we have in Christ, as we learn of that every time anew in the preaching of sound doctrine in the Church of Christ. So may that be true of us then, as we consider Titus chapter 2 and learn what place each of us has in the Church of Christ, and be motivated by gratitude, thankfulness to God, to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord our God. And then view our membership in the church as not just a chore, but a joy, a blessing, something that is exciting, and something that is a privilege, because we have an important place and work as believers in Christ. May God bless His word to our hearts this morning. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God and Father in heaven, may Thy word be used by Thee as a lamp to our feet and a light upon our pathway, showing us the way to live and directing us in a life of thankful obedience to Thee as believers in Christ, as members of Thy church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.